for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday morning, July the 3rd, 2008, Ron and Glenda Petty is the speaker of this service, sharing their testimony. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
A short doctor and a big patient, they will do whatever it takes. And she said quite frequently, we have to climb up on the patient, straddle the patient to do those the defibrillator correctly. And so Ron saw that happening. And this was...
I saw the doctor.
You saw that. And then it was, okay, now get in. And the doctors would never tell us that they had lost him. But we finally got the younger one off to himself one time. And so we questioned him, and he said... He actually revealed, he said, well, we didn't know as if we were operating on a dead man, was his very blunt words. Of course, Ron knew. And the doctors kind of rejected this idea. You know, they immediately said, oh, well, you had a Bentall bill to pay. No wonder you couldn't get in. Well, no wonder it wasn't your time. You know, you had to come back and pay that previous surgery's bills. So, you know, Bentall is the county hospital in Houston. I mean, we've been in all of them. So, anyway. But, okay, let's go back to those several weeks there in intensive care. We're going to wind up pretty quick. I think we're losing you here. But at any rate, the angel's there, and now Ron's in recovery. At times, there was so much pressure in the middle of his brain, it would press on the optic nerve, and it would blank out his vision. So he would have no vision, and then it would come back, and okay, he can see again. Well, during this time, they needed to send in the optical team. And so one day they all came in, and there were quite a few of them.
Five or six of them. Yeah.
And brought in the Big E chart.
You know what the Big E chart is?
Yeah, everyone knows.
The capital E. Uh-huh. All they wanted to know was, which way was it pointed? You know, which way was it?
Yeah, well, they know.
I read them the copyright number to the medical cart outside the hallway.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was very, very smart. In fact,
very, very smart.
One of the doctors said, asked me, what was I reading? And I told him. He walked out into the hallway, had to rub it up with his thumb, and said, came back in through his clipboard on the bed, says, we don't need to test this man's eyes. Because I read him correctly, the copyright number two, or just a little plate, little bitty numbers.
Mm-hmm. We were very puzzled about that for the longest, until someone said, Ron, you had the residual effect from heaven, a residual vision from heaven. It didn't last long. In fact, I'd say that was about the only incident that you knew of. But you in heaven, Ron was very aware that he wasn't wearing glasses or contact lens. And at that point, it didn't matter whether you were or not. You know, you read that. But it didn't last. And then there was another incident where the two main neurosurgeons came in to check things. And this was fairly early on, I would have to say. Because they both lined up here on the side of the bed and they blocked your vision from your angel. And Ron being all pinned down, you became very, you couldn't speak to him, you couldn't tell him anything, but you were just trying to
raise up, because they had blocked my view from my guardian angel.
You wanted to see him.
I wanted to see him. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have a constant view of him.
Make sure he was still there.
Yeah.
And the doctors say they don't know why, but they both just moved back. And as soon as you saw your angel, he said,
lay back, Ron. I'm still here.
Just let them do what they need to do.
Let them do what they need to do.
Yeah. We ran on into one of the doctors some months later, and we asked him about that. And he said, yeah, I remember that. I don't know why we moved back. I remember that. So it was, ran on to an elevator one time, and that was neat. So that was good. Well, then, toward the end of all this, the two doctors came back on the day they were getting ready to dismiss you. And they were just absolutely patting themselves on the back. I mean, they were saying, what great doctors we are.
We were getting ready to ship you off to the morgue. And look at this. You're going home. And I looked over my guardian angel, because he was in the room with me. And he said, we know, don't went wrong. And
but then he said, you know.
You can take it.
Then he said, well, Ron, it's now time for me to go. But I want you to know,
I'll always be here if you ever need me.
Oh, wow.
That's the reason it is so hard for me to walk in places like this. God has given me the gift of seeing another dimension. I don't know how to explain it. I can see everyone's guardian angel. I mean, there's twice as many people in here as you would normally see. But there are, this room is full of angels because it's full of people. They're very distinct. They almost look like, well, I'm seeing twice as many people in here as normal.
They usually resemble the person they're guarding. Someone asked Ron just last week on the phone. It was a long-distance phone call, and the man said, well, Ron, could you see mine? And I thought, no one's ever asked us that. He was off in Georgia. And Ron said, well, yes. Well, what does he look like? Well, Ron started described this man. He didn't know what the man looked like. But I said, Ron, that's what he looks like. You know. So, but that's typical. But now, of course, you were seeing the other angels. The angels on assignment, those warring angels. That's a whole other crowd out there, too. So, at any rate, let's go back. The angel said, it's now time for me to go. I want you to know I'll always be around if you need me. You took your eyes off in just a glance.
When I looked back, he was gone.
From your sight.
From my sight.
I'll have to say, we always thought he was gone. And then we realized, no, just from your sight, he was gone. So at any rate, Ron came on home. It was he had been home about a week before. One night, as we were going to bed, turned out the light. Normally, he would go to sleep just almost before his head hit the pillow. Well, on this night, turned out the light, laid down, and then he spoke. I went, this is strange, he's not asleep. He said, Glenda, or I don't know if you call me Glenda or not, but you said, I had taken a trip. I went, yeah, okay. Well, I'm the one who put all the miles on the car back and forth. And then he said, no, I've taken a trip. And boy, such authoritative. I turned that light back on, set up, where have you gone? And he told me this whole story just exactly as he's told you now. And we thought we better write it all down. And he said, in the morning, I'm going to tell you again. I want you to write it down in case I forget it. I thought, what makes me think we can sleep through the night? You know, better write it down now. Never could he forget this. Never. Okay. Even in the hospital, the doctor realized.
Even today.
Oh, yeah.
I relive it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it won't ever. And the Lord spoke. Remember this.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
My goodness.
We didn't understand that.
We didn't understand it. But
yeah.
So we wrote it down. But it's beyond me how everything just
was connects. There. Well, what would happen in the next 10 years would be Ron's short-term and long-term memory was severely impaired. I would drag out our wedding book ever so often and say, well, do you remember your best man? You remember the wedding? You could see a blank look in his eyes. Okay, the two children we had into the surgery, he couldn't remember. He was right there on their births. You know, we did the Lamas. He was always right at my side. Couldn't remember those. You know, those major points in your life. Well, I would drop it. I would drop trying to make him. It was so, too painful. Okay. Through the years, about once every year or two, he would come into the room And he would say, "Hun, where's your purse?" And I would say, "It's in wherever." Okay. Now, Ron was able to drive. He had to have a list. Always, there was always a pocket on his shirt with a little thing, a list of exactly where to go, our license plate, our name and phone number, everything. And then he would even jot down where he parked in the parking lot. And he would go in and get whatever was three things or five things that's on that list. And then he would come right back out and come right back home. And then he could go to the post office. So he could go on short outings and he could have a list. Well, anyway, he would come into the room and I would think, well, he doesn't need my purse. Doesn't need car keys, money. I don't know why he wants my purse. Okay, in moments, he would come back to the room where I was and he would take my face. A child will do this to you when they really want your attention. And he would say, "Glenda, I can't take it anymore." But my headache, he had a constant headache that went from mild to excruciating and every point in between. And he would say, "I can't take it anymore. My headache's worse. I can't take it. My memory's worse. I can't take it anymore." And the only prayer I had was to go, "It's okay. Remember, your guardian angel said it's not yet your time. Your mission's not complete. And you're here. You've got me. You've got the children. Your purpose, your mission is here." And you go, "Oh, Glenda, you're no match for heaven." It's like, "Sorry, I mean, you know." "Let me just tell you now. I'd rather be there." But the thing is, we have had so many medical emergencies, this was not a 911. This was only a 911 to heaven. He was drowning. He was just literally dying. And there was nothing I could do other than pray. I would always pray. I would always do, and it would bring him out of it. He'd go, "Okay." You know, he'd be better. No pain pills worked. The only thing that worked was to just knock him out. So he never was on anything like that. So anyway, this happened about once every year or two, maybe every 2 years. And on May the 16th of 1992, we had now moved to Lufkin, back to Ron's hometown. And this is incredible. During the 10 years of such impaired memory, he had full memory of heaven. He, in his heart and his spirit, God was with him. He could often see, see his guardian angel when he needed help. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He had God's presence of mind. He had good judgment. Even his doctor said one time, "Well, Ron, your memory's shot, but your judgment's still good." Is what he actually told. So his judgment. Okay, during those 10 years, we would make major decisions. We homeschooled our children, major decisions. We had teaching on the family and teaching on finances. And it was our heart's desire to be out of debt. And the Lord led us to be out of debt. And the last debt would be our house note. And so the Lord led us to sell our house and move back to his hometown. And it would also honor his family, as Ron was the only son. He had one sister and he was the only son. And that way it would honor his family as the son, and then our children would have the benefit of their grandparents. So we made major decisions. We had two more children during those 10 years. We made the decision, first of all, our son came as a real revelation to us one day that God wanted to restore the years that the locust had eaten. Ron's memory wasn't even back. But it's the first time we'd ever heard Joel, 2:20. First time. It was incredible. And I cried all the way home from church. It was on a Sunday night. I said, "What have we lost? We've lost your help. I felt like we've lost our testimony. We've lost a son." And you know, that second daughter we had was not the replacement. God showed me clearly he was going to give us girl, boy, girl, boy. And we lost the boy and he was giving us the girl. And I couldn't have been more thrilled and delighted we were having a second little girl. I say that because it was only a couple of years ago that Kim, who's now 26, revealed to me that all this time she thought we were so disappointed that she wasn't a boy. I said, "No, Kim, God didn't give us the revelation he was going to restore a son until you were like 3 years old.
We couldn't have been more delighted when you were born. So anyway, I think she understands that now. If she ever hears this tape, it would be fine with me. I'm not even sure where I was, but at any rate, as time has passed, I'll just jump to this point. As time passed, Ron's memory, okay, his memory came back. I'm sorry. Oh, he was asking for my purse. On May the 16th of 1992, I found out why he was wanting my purse. It was to look at my driver's license.
Because I knew her name would be on it.
So he would come back into the room to call me by name and say, Glenda.
I did not know her name.
He would have to repeat it all the way down the hallway before he got back to me. He knew who I was. It's just like, what's her name? So anyway, on May the 16th, he came to me. I remember where I was now. And he said, I can't take it anymore. Memory's worse. Headache's horrible. I just can't take it. And I made my usual little deal. Well, honey, now remember, you know, didn't work. He did not come out of it. He was not getting any better. And hours were passing. Well, that afternoon, it was Saturday, there was a little church fellowship planned. It was a little fish fry out in the country, somewhere we'd never been. The host was going to buy all this catfish, and then they were going to have this big vat and drop it in the, have fried catfish, and all the members were going to bring salads and desserts. Well, Ron's now diabetic as trauma from all the brain surgeries, and now he's not coming out of it. The depression's getting worse and the clock is ticking, and I thought, okay, we're going to have to go to that thing. I'm going to have to call somebody, find out where they live, and we're going to have, I've got to get him out of the house and get him around people. Okay, we did that. We got out to the little deal that afternoon, and greeted, they were out on the back lawn with card tables playing dominoes and different things, and we came on in the house, and Ron kind of sat over in the corner, and 2 hours had gone by, and he was no better. And I'm getting nervous. You know, hey, we're out of the house, he's around people, you know, come on, God, we don't have much more time. You know, he's not responding to the treatment. So now they're already eating. People are already coming back for seconds even. And I'm thinking, time is really short. So I'd already, we tested his blood. He had a terribly high blood sugar number. Gave him his shot. Finally said, honey, you've got to eat. So you get the plate. Go, all this food which you can't have, you know. But at the end of the serving line,
as a joke to the pastor's wife, she didn't know what catfish was.
No. As a joke to the pastor's wife, they had fixed a little flounder.
I mean, that didn't go with catfish. I was helping my plate. The flounder had not been touched. I stood over it and said, that is a flounder. I've been floundering. In that instant, the Lord opened my head up, took out the headache, and put my memory back in. It's still hard for me to share that.
And then he looked across at me, and you said,
it's back.
Glenda.
I said, Glenda, it's back. I knew exactly what happened.
Yeah, and I looked, and I could tell exactly. He was standing straighter and taller than he is now, and looking just glowing. And you knew what was back. In fact, he said it out loud, and one friend had come in and looked around to see what was back. She said, I thought a dog had come back. I didn't know what was back. But anyway, it was so neat. So his memory was back. So then we walked out. We were just, amazed. There was no need to eat the catfish now. We've got heavenly food now. So we walked out where all the people were on the outside. Only of our closest friends, two or three, knew Ron's whole story. This whole group, we had only been in this church a few months. This is so cool. This is God's sense of humor. This little church was just a nice, safe place for
for our little family of six to be. They had no programs, no choir, no debt, and no Holy Spirit.
And no Spirit.
It was a nice, safe place. We had a few friends, and we thought, this is okay. It was not a Baptist church. It's a different little church. And they were taught that miracles don't happen anymore. That all that passed away with the death of the last apostle. And if God ever speaks, you just open it up and you read it, because there's what he said. And that was it. And I felt like these people don't really believe that. They're just taught that, but they don't really believe it. But anyway, a few of them knew the whole story. Anyway, but we walked out there, and the word started spreading. Hey, Ron's got his memory back. Well, they never knew how bad his memory was, because they didn't know us that well, really. But they tested him. And so there was the pastor's son from a different town we had just met for the very first time as we walked in. So Ron had seen him just briefly for like 30 seconds, went into the house, never saw him again until we came back out, and now they're testing him. Well, if your memory's back, then Ron, who's that? I thought, oh, I was cringing. I thought, you know, he just barely met him and never saw him before. And you went, well, of course, you know.
Identified him.
Yeah, exactly. And then they threw another few questions, and of course he just fielded them beautifully. And it was just awesome. But as we were out on the lawn, Ron just could not turn around and look behind him. You just knew your guardian angel was standing right there, and he would be you were fearing he would be visible to you.
Because at that point, everything was.
Mm.
And I could feel my guardian angel behind me. And I was afraid to look around. I said, well, I just break down.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't know.
You were so sure, I'll just fall to the ground and I'll make a scene. So I can't afford to do that. Well, anyway, we just walked on over where the cars were parked. And we just had our own praise service right there. We just cried and praised the Lord. You know, at that point, that's all you could do. It was just praise God. As we were driving out of that property that night, we drove out, and Ron said, Glenda, you don't have to tell me which way to turn. I know where I am. You know? So he's all proud about, he's a terrible navigator.
That was before any surgery.
Yeah, he was that way when we, you know, from day one. And he said, but you don't have to tell me which way to turn. I know which way to turn. I know where home is. I know where I am. I remember how I got here. You know. And then he said, and by the way, didn't you ever wonder why I was always asking for your purse? And he told me. Have you ever cried and laughed at the same time? Oh my goodness. I thought, and honey, we had two more kids. And you're having to read my name. Oh my word. This is not exactly good news. And you know, it was pretty devastating, really. And I thought, oh, I'm so glad I didn't know that. And then it dawned on me later, you know, it would have just been more grace. It was grace, and it would have just been more grace. So, praise the Lord. Well, as time went, more people wanted to hear the whole story. The newspaper picked up the story of the fish fry. And so that ran on the front page of the Sunday paper. And then we had always, this is amazing, during 10 years with zero memory, Ron had a little notepad, or else I would draw him a little map, and he would be invited to little groups to come tell his heaven experience. And he would go by himself, he'd get in the car, follow the map, drive, tell them, get in the car, come back home. And the little group would just sit there. It was the funniest thing. One deacon's group, one Wednesday night, after they were having a business meeting, and you got to tell him the story. It took him about 20 minutes to run through it. And then nobody said anything. Their jaws were dropped. Every single one of them. They were mesmerized. And finally he said, well, I'm through. I'm leaving. I'm going. And you, no one says a word. No one gets up and says, thank you for coming.
No
or anything, you know. And so you kind of slip on out, and as he's walking down the sidewalk by the building, there's windows here, And he looks back in. No one's moved. They still haven't moved. And then finally, the next day, we talked to the guy who invited us. I think he was a veterinarian, one of them. And he said, well, we finally just dismissed the meeting. We couldn't do any business after that. You know? So you can see we're from where we came to where we are now. But when Ron's memory came back, suddenly he couldn't go by himself. We both now go. But no, God just connected us with the church that wanted to know more, and then we needed to learn more. And that's when we first began to realize there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit, rather than just being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, that there was the Holy Spirit that was moving and working and among us and living in us and all just of that.
Right here, right now.
Right now. And then that group, it just grew. It just grew from there, a group that wanted to know more. And then as time passed, we made that very cautious transition, a total 180 from that Bible church over to the non-denominational church, and the Lord just increased. And then in that church, then they would have prophets come in from out of town, and then they would pick out people and say, hey, you in the blue shirt, stand up, you know. And by the third time that strangers had told Ron he had the gift of healing, something we'd never heard of. I mean, those scriptures are there. They were typically passed right over, you know. And then we could go back and read them for ourselves, but we don't have any point of reference for this in those many years. So, I mean, this is just bizarre. You've died and gone to heaven. You've come back, and now you've had 10 years of no memory, and you have shared this heaven story all over and over, and we did not know there was a gift of healing. We had not been filled with the Holy Spirit. That is just strange to me, looking back at that now. But at any rate, we began to pray and seek the Lord. What is this gift of healing? Something we've never known of before. We never watched TBN. In fact, all through those years, we never even had cable. So we were unknown. And then it worked out that the 700 Club wanted to come out and film this part about the memory coming back. And it was sort of embarrassing because we've never seen the 700 Club. We really don't know anything about them, you know. But they did all this filming, and we had that episode on there. And we said, now, you know, there's a bigger story. We've been to heaven. There's a much bigger story than just this fish fry. And the producer said, oh, yeah, but that would take 30 minutes. They're only giving us 6 minutes. That was it. 6 minutes, this is what we tell. that was so funny. But at any rate, during these years now, with the Holy Spirit now, the gift has just grown and grown. And now God has just so added to it. He's so awesome to have the prophetic, the healing. Now we understand deliverance. We've been through it. It's wonderful.
I can remember the very first healing that the Lord did. I don't think I'll ever forget.
This is actually in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Many years ago, you know, 12, 15 years ago, I can remember when they brought that little kid to our home. And they said, pray for him. I said, what are you talking about? I mean,
what do I say?
What do I say?
Yeah.
I didn't know. This is brand new.
I don't know how to pray. The little kid was a thin, tall, very skinny 18-year-old that had a vertebra visibly out of line in the back of his neck. And he's so thin and skinny, you know, you can just see these vertebras right here clearly. And one of them was a good, eighth to half an inch scooted over. And they were on their way to the chiropractor for the chiropractor to try to work on it, you know. And the mother said, Ron, you've got the gift. Just put your hand on it and pray. And that's when he said, I don't know what to say. She said, hey, just put your hand there and just pray. Just whatever.
I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do.
Okay, but you did that.
I visibly saw.
And felt.
And felt. That vertebra moved back in line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
That just almost did me in right there. I saw it. I felt it.
Mm-hmm. He felt it. He knew it. Pain was gone. No more need for the chiropractor, all that. That was the first.
That was the very first.
The very first. The second, I would have to say, was me. I woke up one morning with just a major crick in my neck.
okay, not life-threatening. This is going to pass. However, I'm thinking, okay, let's just test this out. You know, I can't move. And I said, okay, so we're in the den. And I said, hon, could you just maybe pray for my neck? Okay, so he does. And then he walks back to the bedroom. And I thought, I didn't feel anything. I don't know. And so I'm afraid to try it out. So I actually get up and change rooms just in case he comes back. I want to be out of sight. So I go in the kitchen and go, okay, this is good. No pain. I'm just thrilled. But what I found out later was already, I have a curvature of the spine, already in my 30s, whenever I had to get out of bed, it would take me a full, half minute to straighten up and then be able to walk. If I got up in the middle of the night, okay, I've got to straighten up. Okay, and I thought, man, I'm just too young for this. This is not good. I don't see much future. Anyway, that next night, get up. And to this day, no problem. So my acute problem was gone, and my chronic problem was completely and foreverly gone. So I can say I have experienced that. And then still we were so new at this, but nevertheless, we just kept, I always say, stumbling forward.
That's what we did.
But at any rate, you know, just God kept doing it. And now in the more recent years, I did journal of when this may have started, but it started and it just grown and grown and grown. The Lord is so gracious. We are just really simple people. Our life is an open book. We're just very transparent and very simple. And the Lord deals with us in a really easy way. And so now when we pray for people, the Lord just shows him. It's a heightened sense of discernment.
People will come over to the church
wherever,
or our house
wherever.
Mm-hmm. And they'll tell me something that is the reason they're coming over for prayer. But what the Lord shows me is their true
need.
Mm-hmm. And I'll say, whoa, what about your
heart? What about right here on your back? And they'll go, oh, well, I didn't tell you about that. I mean, they want to say, pray for my allergies, pray for my wart on my thumb, you know. And it's like, oh, did you ever know that your blood's not circulating really well right here? Did you ever know that, you know, so whatever? And so, you know, but the beauty of it is the Lord just shows him. And it's just so, God, thank you. And this happens even if they're on the phone long distance. So what happens then is, in fact, some man from this camp, our book's been here since around January, I suppose, and someone had it and called us from Louisiana, and he wanted us to pray for him. Well, honest to goodness, we're actually not intercessors. We don't have that intercession anointing where you pray for hours before you're released from it. We just don't have that. What we do is we pray right now. We have a speakerphone. We put you on the speaker. If I'm there, I stand in for you because I'm just the point of contact. And Ron gets his oil out. We just go like you're there. So between the phone and the two of us, there's three of us in the room with the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and we just pray. And so the Lord shows Ron long distance just as well as if you're standing here. And he did that man that day, and the man was just really surprised. He was expecting us to write his name down and hang up. No, we don't do that. We're going to pray right now. Do you have about 30 minutes or however long? You know, it might take 10, might take 30.
Might take a minute.
Yeah, whatever. Just hang on. Don't hang up. So that worked out beautifully. But it's just God's anointing, and just praise the Lord. So I'll have to say back again, all those years of those two classes at Stephen F. Austin State University in Nacogdoches, Texas, those students, this is so cool. Guess what they heard? The whole message was John 14:6. That Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. That's what that State University, those people heard over and over and over. And isn't God just so good to do that? So, hallelujah. Well, that's who we are. And
we've told you a lot of things.
Yeah.
That,
but to God be the glory.
To God be the glory.
Every bit of it. Yeah.
Two angels.
Oh, the two angels? What now? The 21-year-old?
No,
oh. Oh, that was at the table. Mm-hmm.
Three times you said second angel.
Yes.
Okay.
The second angel turned out to be his guardian.
Guardian angel.
Who came home with him. Yeah, stayed there.
Mm-hmm. Stayed at the table.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
What was the scripture is John
2:25, yes. It's in our book. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Any other? The college classes always had question-answer times. We learned a lot from those students because they're not afraid to ask anything. And one time they said, well, how did you know you loved her? Or, did you love her? And Ron had, and I didn't know. I thought, I never asked that. And you said, no, because I didn't know. I'm like, oh, there she is. So he had to learn. It was not hard to learn, but it all just worked out. It was one of those arrangements, I guess. You know.
There's a hand back there.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay. 11 years later, from 82 to 93, we are now in Lufkin, Texas. We're sitting in a Bible study every single Thursday night. And for now, we're doing the book, Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God. And there's a pastor and his wife and a pharmacist and his wife, these two couples, came an hour away to bring us this study. They had the videos, they had gone through it, and they had been invited to come do this. During the course of these weeks, they said, well, we need you to, our little group here, they said, we want you to pray for some prayer needs that we have back in our church. And one of those was a young man who was dying of kidney failure. And so week to week, Scotty Hennigan was on our prayer list from this little group, this prayer group. Well, then one week, the two couples came and they said, well, we don't need to pray for Scotty anymore. We had his funeral this week and he is now in heaven. And when they said that, they were so happy saying that. They said, well, don't need to pray for Scotty. Nope, we had his funeral this week and boy, you should see his mother. She is just aglow. She is just wonderful. She gave him to the Lord. The Lord took him, and boy, this lady is just amazing. I thought, whoa, my goodness. And they said, well, as soon as she is able to travel, as soon as she kind of gets over this, we want her to come and meet you guys. 3 weeks later, Carolyn Hennigan came to our group after the prayer meeting, and we're standing around drinking a coffee or what, visiting. Ron went over to her, and you said, you wouldn't so happen to have a picture of Scotty, would you? And she said, well, that's interesting you ask. And you said, I don't know why I'm asking. And she said, well, that's interesting because I normally don't even have a picture, but tonight, while I was waiting on them to pick me up, I went back inside the house, and I brought this, and I took the picture, like, off of the television. A framed 8x10, glass and all, she put it in her bag, pulls out the picture. And then Ron dropped to his knees, dropped it just down to the floor. He said, that's the young man I saw entering heaven.
This doesn't make any sense at all. I saw him 12 years or
11 years earlier.
11 years earlier than he died.
The picture that she brought was recent of him, and he did not look ill. It was just mere months before his death. And so it was his 21-year-old person.
Heaven is timeless.
Mm-hmm.
There's no time.
There's no time.
Mm-hmm. It took a long time for me to understand, to grasp this.
Uh-huh. It was no surprise to his mother. Scotty was a wonderful Christian. Anyone who ever came to see him heard about God. He testified all the time. He loved to glorify God, you know. But to know that Ron saw him, and then as you described his personality, as you made eye contact, and his certain smile, kind of a funny little smirky smile.
He's like, I made it. And you didn't.
And he's going across like this. There's this camaraderie. And,
really?
And you told his mother this. This is exactly how it felt. And she said, that was him exactly. That's his personality. So, anyway, Ron saw 11 years, what happened there before, 11 years before it happened on Earth. Another thing we are now understanding is, well, first of all, For God, it's the eternal now. Okay? He stands in his point and he sees the beginning to the end all at once. We know this. He created it all and then he went back and started. But then too, I think now Ron saw that sea of people, thousands and thousands and all those children. Okay, I don't think Ron was seeing an instant in time. He was seeing a wave of time, a major section of what we would call time. So, and yet, when he heard our son, to identify that voice was the voice of a 3-year-old, chronologically earthly correct. So it's all a mystery. It's all time is in God's hands. And so he allowed it all just sovereignly.
Well, it's hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Bottom line, that is it.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I mean, it's nothing but praise the Lord. When you walk out of here, you need to think, praise the Lord, at least a bunch of times before you get to your car. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Yeah, right.
I will have to tell this on you, too. One time, after we had seen major miracles, you were up in the middle of the night in our prayer room. We had two love seats, and they were making an L shape at that point in the room. And the Lord was sitting on one, you were on the other one, and you were just thanking Him for that miracle that we had just seen. Just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And at that point, you said,
Ron, don't be so thankful. Just be obedient.
Yeah. It was Ron, quit thanking me so much.
Yeah, quit thanking me so
just
much.
Just be obedient.
Just be obedient.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, there's a balance. it's just like he is who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, we can't be more delighted to tell you. You have brought out the best in us. Your spirit and your receptiveness has just truly brought out the best in us, and we just appreciate you so, so much. Hallelujah.
So we want to take a stand.
Well, we're halfway through lunch, so this is good. We're not too hungry. Absolutely. In fact, it's been hard for us to be here and not minister. Yeah. We would be in our element if we were ministering.
Really? That's a gift God gave me. And if you understand, that's a gift.
It's a gift.
And it's just, I scratch my head every day, like, whoa, Lord. I can't hardly stand up.
I tell you what, we're looking forward to that time is, and when the glory falls, it'll just be healed. You know, healed, delivered. We won't touch anyone, just healed. Hallelujah. Well, okay. Where is the Lord showing you to start? A pastor once said this, rather than start at one end and go there. And where do you see the Lord moving?
Father.
So we just need to pray a minute and just thank you, Father God.
Thank you,
we just
Father.
Praise you. We thank you. We just glorify your name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.